Hi, I'm Jay from JinxNavigator.com, and this is my podcast. We're making our way through all of the issues of The Jinx, a newsletter for magicians and mentalists that lasted from 1934 to 1941, and a lot of what we do as mystery performers can be traced back to something from The Jinx. This is the podcast where we browse through every issue and find out how many of the ideas are still usable. Spoiler alert, answer is just about all of them. We're looking at issue number 18 today, which contains The Miracle Speller by Vincent Dalban, The Phantom Cigarette by Lou Brent, Improvements by Theodore Animan, Thoughts in General by Animan, Death Flight by Tom Sellers, and The Editorial by Theodore Animan. The editorial in issue number 18 opens mid-argument. Frank Lane, the Boston magician who got his own baby joke paragraph in the issue number 10 editorial, apparently took exception to something Animan wrote in the Winter Extra about the origin of a certain billet card effect. He responded with a letter that Animan describes as delightful, even as he quotes Lane calling him a cockeyed liar and warning him not to get fat-headed about a quarter magazine. Animan's reply is genial but firm. He'll give Lane a dozen life subscriptions if Lane can show he ever did the three billet card effect before Animan's visit to Boston. And he notices Lane is now wearing a ring with a question mark on it, just like the one Lane admired on Animan's hand. He suggests a dollar sign might have been more appropriate. The bulk of the editorial is taken up by two things. First, a report from the road. At the time of writing, Animan had completed 9 weeks touring with the Green River Review, covering 117 nightclubs and dinner spots from Pittsburgh to New York. The highlight was a week at Grand Central Palace, where the show was recorded on transcription records with precise timing built in for applause gaps. The problem, of course, is that audiences didn't always applaud on cue. The record just kept spinning, waiting for no one. Second, and more substantively, Animan returns to the question of ethics in magic publishing. His position, of course, is unambiguous. A magazine that takes advertising money from dealers known to copy others' work, fail to fill orders, or ship shoddy merchandise is doing its readers a disservice. He uses a word, pediculous, and then helpfully defines it, lousy. He contrasts this with the old standard set by a previous generation's magic magazine, whose editor lost money and made enemies, but never left a reader holding a bad trick without recourse. That policy, Animan says, is worth something. A few other items round out the editorial. Bernard Ernst, the SAM's president, is rumored to be resigning due to health. John Snyder Jr. has released something called Psyche Lock, developed from a presentation Animan described in The Jinx, and built on a new method that Animan says supersedes his own original handling. All that and more in the editorial for issue number 18 is at JinxNavigator.com. The Miracle Speller is from Vincent Dalban, the same contributor who offered the historical magician postcards in issue number 12, and it's a card spelling effect with a premise that's hard to resist. The performer turns his back. A helper spells out their own name silently, dealing one card per letter into a face-down pile. The card that falls on the last letter is looked at and remembered, and the rest of the deck goes on top. The pile is squared and cut. The performer turns around. Without knowing the helper's name or the card, he spells out his own name, dealing one card per letter, and turns over the last card. It's the chosen one. Dalban suggests using this as a follow-up to a standard spelling trick, which neatly handles the do-it-again crowd, but it works just as well on its own. The method requires a single gimmicked card and a name chosen in advance, one letter shorter than the performer's own, that's used during the setup phase. The relationship between those two names is what locks everything in place, regardless of how long the helper's actual name turns out to be. Full details on the Miracle Speller can be found at JinxNavigator.com. This next one is from Lou Brent, and it's a pure pantomime piece, a cigarette appearing from nowhere with no props visible at the start. The Phantom Cigarette. You know, if people start smoking because of all of these things we're hearing about from inside the Jinx, that'd be very sad. I guess listen to the Jinx Navigator at your own risk. The performer mimes the entire ritual of taking out a cigarette case, removing a cigarette, tapping it, tucking it between the lips, then reaches under the coat as if for a match, strikes it against the sole of a raised shoe, cups both hands around the flame, and when the hands come away, there's a lit cigarette actually in his mouth. He takes a drag, blows out the imaginary match, and drops it to the floor. So this whole thing plays as pure sleight of hand, but the cigarette itself has been hidden and already lit in a small holder under the coat. The steal happens under cover of the match lighting action, and Brent offers two different positions for the holder depending on the performer's preference, and Anneman adds his own note on the handling, describing a slightly different retrieval sequence that he's found more reliable in practice. Full details on this at jinxnavigator.com. It's time now for the Jinx's first collected improvements column. This is reader-submitted refinements to effects from previous issues, tested and selected by Anneman. Covers 11 effects going back to issue number 1, and the contributions come from a mix of readers and Anneman himself. Few highlights worth noting: the Supreme East Indian Needle Trick gets a cleaner load position, no faked spool needed, and the spool can actually be left with the audience. The Blindfold Cigarette Divination from issue number 4 gets a quiet practical note. Use women rather than men, because the greater variety in footwear makes identification easier. The Lemon and the Dollar effect from issue 7 gets upgraded to 3 different kinds of fruit, apple, orange, and lemon, so the performer can identify which bill is out at a glance, rather than having to appear to examine a lemon closely. And the Divination with Matches from issue 11 gets a nice loosening. Doesn't need to be a new pack, just a mostly full one, which means it can be borrowed from someone in the room. Light a cigarette from it to secretly note the count. 20th Century Cards, the ribbon production from issue number 10, gets a full apparatus upgrade from a reader named R.M. Jameson, who built a small display stand with a nickeled rod so the cards hang visibly for the whole audience. The original illustration from the Jinx is reproduced, that and full details on all of the improvements at jinxnavigator.com. Anneman's notebook column, Thoughts in General, returns in issue number 18, and he opens with an apology of sorts. He's been touring with 4 shows a night and hasn't had much time to develop complete effects, so what follows are a collection of practical ideas rather than polished routines. The card-on-ceiling effect gets a thorough treatment. Anneman's preferred adhesive is Woolco paste from Woolworth stores, carried in a small sample tin in the right trouser pocket. A dab on the back of the top card, last-minute dovetail shuffle to keep the card in place, and then the deck is thrown flat at the ceiling with a slight spin, and he's very specific about the spin. It's the rotary motion that ensures flat contact. He calls this the one detail that makes the effect reliable rather than hit or miss. And if you can't find Woolco paste from your favorite Woolworth store, try Magician's Wax. A tip for anyone who uses tube apparatus: make them square from heavy cardboard with cloth tape joints and thin wood end rings. That way they can fold flat for a suitcase. A kind of unusual suggestion: learn lip reading. People talk constantly during close-up performances, especially private events, and a performer who can pick up what's being whispered has an advantage most would never think to develop. Anneman says one person he knows has taken this seriously and found it worth real money. He also revisits the Bremen nut trick, suggesting it be presented with a glass swizzle stick instead of a string. Far more astonishing, and the attention stays on the rod rather than the nut. And a final idea for anyone who works with chances: perform your card tricks with 3 specific cards removed from the deck. When a helper names any of those 3 rather than selecting one, the card can be produced from the pocket. He doesn't name the 3 cards in the script, those are at jinxnavigator.com, but the principle is that sometimes patience pays off better than certainty. It's now time for Death Flight, and this one is from Tom Sellers, and it's a piece built for press and publicity work, kind of effect that plays particularly well with a reporter or a small skeptical group. 2 helpers each get 7 blank cards. The first helper takes 1 card and writes the name of a dead person on it. Oh man, you know how much I love living and dead, but this is different. This is only dead. We don't have any living people here. Anyway, name of a dead person, face down, mix in with the other 6. These are sealed in an envelope, initialed and pocketed by the helper. The second helper gets 7 more blank cards, examined and counted, sealed in a second envelope, initialed and either pocketed or held. Performer announces that the dead name card will travel from one envelope to the other. First envelope is opened, 6 blank cards. The dead name is gone. The second envelope is opened, 8 cards, and the written card is right there among them. So the entire method happens during 2 brief, seemingly casual envelope handling moments. Preparation is minimal. By the time the helpers are initialing their envelopes, the outcome is already decided. Sellers calls it excellent for press work, and it's easy to see why. A named dead person appearing in a sealed envelope is exactly the kind of thing that ends up in a newspaper in the 1930s, at least. It does sound like a cool effect. Just, you know, do something other than a dead person. Full details at jinxnavigator.com. That's it for this episode of the Jinx Navigator podcast. To see every article in every issue of the Jinx, go to jinxnavigator.com and sign up. It's completely free. You can use the contact form on that site to let me know what you think of the podcast, good or bad. I'll take questions, suggestions, critiques, whatever you want to send me. I'm Jay Jennings from jinxnavigator.com, and I hope you join me again next time when we explore issue number 19, which includes a version of the Al Baker Three Billet Trick by Theo Animan. And I thank you in advance for helping spread the word about this, the Jinx Navigator podcast. See you next week.